statement, the last statement of al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, كان شديدا على المبتدعة. He was stern against the innovators. That was in Tariq al-Islam. And ikhwan, the meaning of being stern against the innovators, meaning that you clarify their errors. Again, in light of the kitab and the sunnah, with the understanding of the salaf of this ummah. If somebody was upon misguidance in al-asma wa sifat, and they agree with the jahmiyyah, it would be clarified. If somebody agree with the mu'tazila in their denial of khabar al-ahad in the issues of aqidah, it would be clarified. If somebody attacked any of the sahaba agreeing with the shi'a, it would be clarified. If somebody agreed ala sabil al-mithal with the qadariya and fell into the errors of the qadariya, it would be clarified. He was shadeed against the innovators, meaning he would not la yujamiluhum, he would not flatter them. If they were upon error, he would clarify their error. Naam. بِالضَّوَابِدِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ in light of the guidelines of the Sharia. طيب. مَكَانَةُ After mentioning his makana, I just want to close, بإذن الله, with the response to people that criticize Al-Imam Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah. مَكَانَةُ His station and standing among the people of his time. Alhamdulillah, we've heard the scholar's praise of Al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, Abu Muhammad. But what was his standing and his station among the people of his time as well? كَانَ لِلْبَرْبَهَارِ مَكَانَ عَالِيَ فِي قَوْمِهِ Al-Barbahari enjoyed a lofty station among his people, the people of his era. وَكَانَ يُلَقَّبْ بِالرَّئِيسِ الْحَنْبَلِيَّةِ As was mentioned earlier, he was referred to as the head of the Hanabila. وَمِنَ الْأَدِلَّةِ عَلَى عُلُوِ مَكَانَتِهِ مَا نَقَلَهُ إِبْنُ أَبِي يَعْلَى فِي طَبَقَاتِ الْحَنَابِلَةِ An example that shows his notable position among the people of his time. From the examples that establishes his notable position with the people of his time is that which was mentioned by Ibn Abi Ya'la in Tabaqat al-Hanabila. قال, he said, لَمَّا تُوفِيَ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ إِبْنُ عَرَفَ الْمَعْرُوفِ بِنِفْطَوَيْهِ وَحَضَرَ جَنَازَتُهُ أَمَاثِلْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا وَالدِّينِ كان المقدم على جماعتهم في الإمامة البربهاري وذلك في صفر سنة 23 و300 Ibn Abi Ya'la, he mentioned in Tabaqat al-Hanabila, he said that when Abu Abdullah al-Ma'ruf, Abu Abdullah ibn Arafa al-Ma'ruf bi-Niftawi, an individual who was well known as al-Niftawi, at his funeral, at the funeral of this individual when he died, it was attended by the most respected people from the wealthy people of the world, and likewise from the people of religion. So by the people of religion and the wealthy people of the dunya. وَكَانَ الْمُقَدَّمْ عَلَى جَمَاعَتِهِمْ فِي الْإِمَامَةِ The one who was put forward to lead before everyone else was al-Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah. And this occurred in the month Safar in the year 323 Hijri. In the year 323 Hijri. So that's just an example showing how the people of his time regarded him, rahimahullah. Ikhwan, I just want to read briefly. And again, at the moment it's just 5 pages and it may be more than that. A response to some of the allegations and derogatory remarks that were directed towards the noble Imam Abu Muhammad al-Barbahari rahimahullah. And some of these are lies and fabrications. Some of these are remarks that were intended to be defamatory remarks, but in reality they are praiseworthy. It is praise. And some of them, na'am, we reject because it opposes what? Trustworthy Muslim historians have said about that time. So, inshallah ta'ala, this is important because we know, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man radda an irdi akhihi, radda Allahu an wajhihi an-nar yawm al-qiyamah." Whoever defends the honor of his brother, then Allah will protect his face from the fire on the day of resurrection. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect all of our faces from the hellfire. All of us are in haja, yani ila haja, we all require that. We all desire it, inshallah, for Allah Azza wa Jal to protect our faces from the hellfire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith collected by Tirmidhi rahimahullah, "Man radda an irdi akhihi, whoever defends the honor of his brother, radda Allahu an wajhi an-nar yawm al-qiyamah, Allah will protect his face from the fire on the day of resurrection." So I've divided these accusations into three categories. Naam, that which was mentioned as a disparagement, but is actually considered to be praiseworthy and not blameworthy at all. So that's the first category. What they mention as a disparagement to criticize Barbahari, but in all reality it is praiseworthy and it is a noble trait and characteristic. The second category, that which contradicts what Imam al-Barbahari stated in himself in his works. Meaning they accuse him of certain things, but al-Barbahari rahimahullah himself, he stated in his books, in his works, the opposite of that. He stated in Sharh al-Sunnah, because that's the book that we have with us from his works, he stated the opposite of what they claim about him. The third category, that which opposes what the reliable and credible Muslim historians have stated. That which they have stated, it opposes what the reliable and credible Muslim historians have mentioned concerning Al-Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullahu ta'ala rahmatan wasi'ah. So I'll give some examples from their statements. And I'll read their accusations word for word, because we're just, alhamdulillah, we're not like them. We are not like them, we are just. If we ascribe a statement to someone, we have a source. Either they said it on this tape, they said it in this book, or so-and-so heard them and the person was reliable and trustworthy. Naam. And these are Orientalists, Western academics. Joseph Normand Bell, he said, now the Kitab As-Sunnah of Al-Barbahari was in part intended to furnish the unsophisticated majority among the followers of Ibn Hanbal with rules of thumb for identifying heretics. Explain to me what is wrong with this statement. The Kitab As-Sunnah, meaning Sharh As-Sunnah, was in part intended to furnish the unsophisticated majority among the followers of Ibn Hanbal with rules of thumb for identifying heretics. What's wrong with that statement? Umar, this individual, Joseph Normand Bell, insinuates that the book Sharh As-Sunnah was unsophisticated because he said it was furnished for an unsophisticated audience. Meaning, the followers of Al-Barbahari, the students of Al-Barbahari, the people of the Sunnah, they were unsophisticated. He's saying they were imbeciles, they were simpletons. So he's accusing the people of the Sunnah of being simpletons. Because they don't think, huh? We'll understand why. So Joseph Normand insinuates that the book Sharh As-Sunnah was unsophisticated and stated that the majority of the students of Al-Barbahari were simpletons. Let's look at this. Firstly, a similar accusation was made against the Prophet and his companions by the hypocrites who were in their midst. What did the hypocrites say? No, what did the munafiqun say? قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. They said, the hypocrites, shall we believe like the fools have believed? Shall we believe like the idiots have believed? The fools have believed? So this we know from the munafiqun. That's from the masalik of the people of Batil. They always refer to the people who try and adhere to the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal as being foolish. Secondly, this is a statement to them. What benefit is intelligence without faith? What's the fa'ida of being the most intelligent person in the dunya without iman? Because if you die in that state, you're going to the hellfire forever. May Allah protect us from that. What benefit is intelligence without faith and compliance to the divine revelation? What's the benefit of being intelligent and living without faith and without adhering to the book and the sunnah? Listen to the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Let's put things into perspective. Because some people, they just want to sound intelligent, even if it's at the expense of them, mother, even if it's at the expense of clinging to the religion of al-Islam. They want to just sound intelligent. Naam. Like they want to quote from Dale Carnegie, or they want to quote from this individual or that individual, because they want to sound as if they're smart. Listen what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said. He said, وَقَدْ يَكُونَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ أَذْكِيَاءِ النَّاسِ وَأَحَدُّهُمْ نَظَرًا. He said, it is possible a man may be considered to be among the most intelligent of people and the sharpest of them in terms of perception. وَيُعْمِيهِ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَنْ أَظْهَرِ الْأَشْيَاءِ. And Allah blinds him from the most obvious of matters. May Allah protect us from that. It is possible that a man may be considered to be from the most intelligent and smartest of the people, Naam, and the sharpest of them in terms of his perception. He's sharp, he's quick. But Allah blinds him from recognizing and comprehending and accepting the most obvious of things. He said also, وَقَدْ يَكُوْ مِنْ أَبْلَدِ النَّاسِ وَأَضْعَفَهُمْ نَظَرًا وَيَهْدِيهِ لِمَا اخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ بِإِذْنِهِ. And likewise, a person may be from the most unintelligent of the people. You may look at him and say, he's from the most unintelligent of the people. He's from the dumbest of the people. And the weakest of them in terms of perception. And Allah, by His will guide him to the truth about that which they differ. Allahu Akbar. Because it's not in your hands, no matter how intelligent you are. Shaykh al-Islam goes on to say, فَمَنْ اتَّكَلَ عَلَى نَظَرِهِ وَاسْتِدْلَالِهِ وَأَوْعَقْلِهِ وَمَعْرِفَتِهِ خُدِلْ. Whoever solely relies upon their perception, their understanding, their intelligence and reasoning will be forsaken. No, seek the aid of Allah. Seek the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal. In Fatiha, in every rak'ah we say, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Whether you're black, whether you're white, whether your IQ is out of the park, no matter what your IQ is. Every Muslim in every rak'ah, in every salah we say, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. The path of those whom you have blessed. Na'am. So a person, whoever solely relies upon their perception, the sharpness of their perception, their intelligence, their understanding, their ability to reason, they will be forsaken. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَثِيرًا مَا يَقُولَ. And that is why. He said, فَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. He said, that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would frequently make the dua, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik, O changer of hearts, establish my heart upon your religion. It doesn't matter how intelligent you think you are, or how intelligent you think you sound. Intelligence alone is not enough. Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he said, when he was talking in Sirah Alam al-Nubala, in a biography of a deviant, he said, La'an Allah dhaka. بلا إيمان ورضي الله عن البلاد مع التقوى كلمة تكتب بماء الذهب. He said, may Allah curse intelligence that lacks faith. He said, may Allah be pleased with stupidity in the presence of piety. Wallahi, it's better that you are slow in terms of understanding things and upon iman and upon taqwa, rather than being the most intelligent person on the face of the earth and upon disbelief. And dying upon disbelief. Thirdly, when you understand what the Orientalists deem to be intelligence, then your amazement at these allegations will cease. What do they understand with the Western academics and the people of Bid'ah? What does it mean to be intelligent? What's the ka fi mi'yarihim hum, in their eyes, in their understanding, in their scales, fi mizanihim? What's intelligence? Listen, Michael A. Cook, another Orientalist, he said Ibn Qudama's and Al-Barbahari statements indicate that the Hanbalis stood apart from many other Muslim thinkers in that they viewed a ta'wil as illegitimate and integrated this attitude into their legal thinking as a moral liability rather than a moral asset. What does he mean? I'll explain it. So he's criticizing Ibn Qudama, he's criticizing Al-Barbahari because they rejected a ta'wil. Thus, they considered kalam, theological rhetoric, and arbitrary, figurative readings of the texts, explaining them contrary to the apparent meaning, even if this pertains to the names and attributes of Allah. If somebody twists the meaning of the names of Allah and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, according to the Orientalists and Western academics, that is intelligence. And adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is considered in their eyes to be what? Is to consider to be retrogression, meaning backwardness. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. So that's the first, that's one example. And there's other examples as well. So the first category was what? Fadl. What was the first category? Mus'ab. القسم الأول, ما هو? Yasir. Now, they criticize Barbahari for that, but in reality it's a praise because they're criticizing him for sticking to the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the Salaf and not going down the path of ta'wil, figurative interpretation of the texts, which is praiseworthy. If somebody says that about any of us, that's praiseworthy. And that is what Orientalists would view us as. They would say that we're rigid. طيب. The second category, and there was more under that which opposes what Al-Imam Al-Barbahari has stated in his own words. Meaning they've attributed things to Al-Barbahari, he never said it. يَكْذِبُونَ عَلَيْهِ وَهُوَ بَرِيءٌ مِنْهُ بَرَاءَةَ الذِّئْبِ مِنْ دَمِ يُوسَفَ. And he's innocent of this, like the wolf is innocent of the blood of Yusuf. That which opposes what Al-Imam Al-Barbahari, he stated in his own works. And for this, we could bring examples from Western academics, but I'll suffice with an example of G.F. Haddad, an infamous Sufi and a self-proclaimed disciple of Nazim Al-Qubrusi. This individual, his teacher, he was a deviant to the level, listen, that they claimed about him. They said that their sheikh, Nazim, he could be present in his shape and body in several places at the same time. That's his sheikh. And he's criticizing Barbahari, rahimahullah. So listen, this individual, G.F. Haddad, the Sufi, he said, the worst controversy attached to Al-Barbahari and his group, by far, was their anthropomorphist teaching on the basis. There's a mistake, he said, on the basis. It should be basis, that's from him, of weak narrations, attributing limbs to Allah. And then he quotes, he said, Ibn Athir relates that the Khalifa, the Caliph, Ar-Radi, issued a verdict against the Hanbalis in the year 323 Hijri. He accuses Al-Barbahari of a tashbih, meaning comparing Allah Azza wa Jal to the creation, this individual. And he relies upon Ibn Athir, his book Al-Kamil fi Tariq. This accusation against Al-Barbahari rahimahullah is false and it is kadhib. It is a pure lie from the words of Al-Barbahari. Look, if they want to know his stance, why not read from Sharh Sunnah? Al-Barbahari, he said, look, wa'alam rahimakullah anna al-kalam fi al-Rabb ta'ala muhdath. وهو بدعة وضلالة ولا يتكلم في الرب إلا بما وصف به نفسه عز وجل في القرآن وما بين رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه فهو جل ثناؤه واحد ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. Al-Barbahari said from his own words, he said, may Allah have mercy upon you, know that speculative speech about the Lord, the Most High, is a newly invented matter and is an innovation and misguidance. Nothing is to be said about the Lord except what He, the Mighty and Majestic, described Himself with in the Quran and what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to His companions. So He, Allah Azza wa Jal, He, the Mighty, is one. There is nothing like Him and He is all-hearing, the all-seeing. So why would they lie upon Al-Barbahari rahimahullah? Remember something important, Ikhwan, and this, it would not only benefit you here, but in life, and also when you read about history and historical occurrences. Don't believe everything that you read. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَوْ يُعْتَ النَّاسِ بِدَعْوَاهُمْ لَدَّعَ رِجَالٌ. If people were given according to their claims, if somebody made a claim and they were given automatically and their statement was accepted, according to their claims, then men would claim the blood and wealth of other people. وَلَكِنَّ الْبَيِّنَةَ عَلَى الْمُدَّعِي وَالْيَمِينَ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرَ. But the proof is upon the claimant and the oath is upon the one who denies it. So if somebody makes a claim, Barbahari is a mushabbih, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. We say to them, هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Give us your proof if you are truthful. وَإِلَّا أَنْتَ كَذَّاب. And if you can't, then you're a liar. And we know that they're lying because what we have in the book of Al-Barbahari rahimahullah and that which we will hear in the coming lessons, it totally contradicts what they have claimed here. And he's not the only one to accuse Al-Barbahari of that. And they get it from some books like the book of history, Al-Kamil fi Tariq, and other books. That book is by Ibn Athir rahimahullah. The last category, and we'll close with this. Inshallah ta'ala, the next few days I'll put this online. And you can download it, bi'idhnillah. And it's in more detail. At the moment, it's 5 pages. It might even be longer than that, because there's other things to be stated. The third category, that which opposes what the reliable and credible Muslim historians have stated. That's why, brothers and sisters, you don't, when you want to learn your religion, you don't just type in something and go to Google. You don't know where it's going to take you. You don't know where Google is going to take you. You don't know who's going to give you the information. And if you accept everything that you read, then we fear for that type of person. Na'am. So the third category, that which opposes what the reliable and credible Muslim historians have stated. An individual known as Zoltán Zambathy, he's an academic based at a university in Budapest. Right? He has a book, this is taken from his book, Libertinism in Medieval Muslim Society and Literature. Na'am. He said, one of the most repulsive historical characters of the Buyid period, a certain Hanbalite zealot called Al-Barbahari. Look, he refers to Barbahari as one of the most repulsive historical characters, meaning he was one of the most wretched people in history. Subhanallah al-Azim. Look how he describes Al-Barbahari. What we heard of the scholars' praise of him and the people, how they regarded him during his time. This individual, may Allah guide him and rectify his affairs. Zoltán Zambathy, he said, one of the most repulsive historical characters of the Buyid period, a certain Hanbalite zealot called Al-Barbahari. Wallahu al-musta'an. That's what you might get if you go to Google. You might find that. Likewise, another individual, Michael Cook. He's a professor, I think, in Princeton. If you just go to a university and you think you're going to learn Islam correctly from these institutions, think again. In early 10th century Baghdad, the Hanbalite Barbahari was manifestly a demagogue. Does anybody know what a demagogue is? What's a demagogue? Sheikh Yahya. Excellent examples. I like the examples. I think from the examples it becomes clear. Hitler was a demagogue. Naam, Elijah Muhammad was a demagogue. Farrakhan's a demagogue. Naam, a demagogue is defined by, in the Oxford Dictionary, a political leader who seeks support by appealing to popular desires and prejudices rather than by using rational argument. Look, this individual, he called Barbahari. He said Barbahari was manifestly a demagogue. Wal-iyadu billah. So how do we address that? Easy. Firstly and foremostly, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرًا. In their stories, there was lessons. In their stories, there was lessons. لِأُولِ الْأَلْبَابِ مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. And the Quran is not a statement that has been made up. So that's a delil that some history that man writes, it's made up, some of it. Allah Azza wa Jalla said about the Quran, مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. This Quran, it is not something, a statement that has been forged and made up. It's revelation. Showing what? Some history that has been written by man has been forged and it is being made up, as established by the understanding of this verse. So therefore, if this is the case, that some human historical accounts are fabricated and invented, then there are methodical guidelines to identify when this occurs. Islam gives us qawaid. We have dawabid, how to deal with information. We don't just accept everything. If you say it's just about degrees and PhDs, the people who are saying, making these statements, they are PhDs from some of the best universities in the world. They've received rewards for their works. So if it's just about degrees alone, then look what these fools have said. An important stipulation is that the historian must be known for his integrity and not allow his religious or political orientation to cause him to lie or be unjust. The historian, the mu'arrikh, he has to be reliable. He has to be reliable. He can't lie upon people just because he doesn't like them. Listen to what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. That is why ibn Taymiyyah, he said, كانت شهادتهم مقبولة على سائر فرق الأمة. Ibn Taymiyyah said about Ahl al-Sunnah, That is why the testimony of Ahlul Sunnah upon the other sects of this nation is acceptable. Why? Why is the testimony of Ahlul Sunnah accepted? He said, بِخِلَافِ أَهْلِ الْبِدَى وَالْأَهْوَاكِ الْخَوَارِجِ وَالرَّوَافِضِ فَإِنَّ بَيْنَهُمْ مِنَ الْعَدَاوَ وَالظُّلْمِ. In opposition to the people of innovation and desires like the Khawarij and the Rafida, because with them is oppression and transgression. When they talk about things, they lie. They make up things. They're selective. They only want to put forward one story. Ahlul Sunnah يَذْكُرُونَ مَا لَهُمْ وَمَا عَلَيْهِمْ. They mention what's for them and what's against them. Ahlul Sunnah يَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِالْعِلْمِ وَالْعَدْلِ. They speak with fairness and with knowledge. Listen to what Ibn Hazm said. فَعْلَمُوا. Listen. فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ التَّقْوِيلَ الْقَائِلِ. Know that falsely attributing a statement to anyone, كَافِرًا كَانَ أَوْ مُبْتَدِعًا أَوْ مُخْتِئًا مَا لَا يَقُولُهُ نَصًا كَذِبْ عَلَيْهِ وَلَا يَحِلَّ الْكَذِبْ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ. He said, Rahimahullah, he said, know that falsely attributing a statement to anyone, whether it be a non-Muslim, an innovator, or someone in error, which he did not explicitly say, is a lie upon him, and it is not allowed to lie on anyone. Look at that. Know that falsely attributing a statement to anyone, whether it be to a non-Muslim, an innovator, or someone in error, which he did not explicitly say, is a lie upon him, and it is not allowed to lie on anyone. No, you can't lie on anyone, even a non-Muslim. لا يجوز. كبيرة من الكبائر, it's a major sin. نعم. Therefore, these reckless remarks and questionable occurrences, نعم, are unacceptable and rejected outright. Why do we reject them? As they contradict the version offered by credible Islamic historians such as Ibn Kathir, al-Dahabi, Ibn al-Jawzi and others. The ulama of the Sunnah say one thing. Ha'ula, these individuals, the Orientalists, they say something totally different. Also the people of innovation, they say something totally different. Ibn Kathir, in Bidayah wa Nihaya, the beginning to the end, that book where he mentions some of the history of Islam, look what Ibn Kathir, he said in that book, Al-Alim, Al-Zahid, Al-Faqih, Al-Hanbali, Al-Wa'id. He said about Barbahari, the scholar, the abstainer, the Hanbali jurist, the admonisher, وَكَانَ شَدِيدًا عَلَى أَهْلِ الْبِدَى وَالْمَعَاصِ. He was harsh against the people of innovation and disobedience. وَكَانَ كَبِيرَ الْقَدْرِ عِنْدَ الْخَاسَ وَالْعَامَ. He said that was highly respected by the elite and the regular masses. So whose statements do we take? The Muslim scholars of the Sunnah, the trustworthy historians, or these imbeciles who weren't there and they weren't present in that time? And one thing I'll close with, inshallah, a lot of them rely upon Ibn Athir from his book, Al-Kamil fi Tariq. And unfortunately, Ibn Athir, in that book, he voices some of his dislike and aversion to the people of the Sunnah. And he mentions things which are totally false. And that is why even his account is not to be depended upon and it's not to be relied upon. Why? Because it opposes what we find in the books of Al-Barbahari. It opposes what the scholars of Islam and the historians have said. And it opposes, barakallahu feekum, it opposes that which we know about this great imam. So that's a brief response to the Orientalists. And like I said, يعني أطلت شيئا ما, I spoke about it in some depth, because if a person, if you read, if you use the internet, you might come across some of these reckless statements. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. Is that clear to everyone? There's no doubt, right? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Any questions?